Welcome to God and Country Radio. Weekend program discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. Topic for this week's program is, how can Harris and Waltz claim moral superiority? This is what we're hearing in the Democrat campaign, and this is what we will be hearing in the upcoming Democrat convention next week. These people speak of themselves as the epitome of virtue and compassion, that their policies will bring about a good life. But don't all politicians and parties claim this? True, but since we have two political parties contradicting each other, we must remember the law of non-contradiction. One party must be right and the other party must be wrong, because two opposing values, such as thou shalt murder versus thou shalt not murder, can't possibly both be right. And that can be applied to any of the Ten Commandments. There are two opposing values in the world, good and evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, a wise man's heart directs him toward the right, but the foolish man's heart directs him toward the left. Psalm chapter 1, there's the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous. The problem is both groups claim to be right. The world would sure be a less deceiving place if evil knew and admitted it was evil. If sinners actually recognized that they were sinners. When the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 left his father's house to waste his inheritance on loose living, did he think he was evil? Of course not. He probably thought his father was a stuffy old killjoy who didn't know how to really live. Did the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Jesus' day admit that they were evil hypocrites? Of course not. They considered themselves righteous and Jesus unrighteous. Consider also the false prophets in the Old Testament. Did they recognize that they were teaching lies? Of course not. They believed that those true prophets of God, who held to the law of Moses, were out of touch, oppressive, intolerant, arrogant, uncompassionate, not cosmopolitan enough, xenophobes, homophobes, you name it. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There's a way which seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12. There is a kind of person who is pure in his own eyes, yet is not washed from his filthiness. And the timeless classic words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount say it all. Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So notice one group is making a profession of godliness. They're claiming, Lord, Lord, and they claim to do many wonderful works, but to their surprise at the judgment, Jesus will reject them because in reality, they practice lawlessness. And that is the key, the practice of lawlessness. God's approval and true righteousness has nothing to do with popularity or sincerity or one's feelings. What matters is whether the individual is following the law of God, or rather following their own law, lawlessness. And I'll address that universal telltale sign again at the end of this program. But that's really how we are to know the true from the false. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. It's obvious. But we live in a world that makes it non-obvious and obscures and suppresses the reality. So, when it comes to political leaders, some are righteous and others are unrighteous. Some are of the truth and the others are of the lie. So will the true righteous candidates please stand up? Now, before we go on, I have to address the mixture view. And you will run into people all the time that say both parties are a mixture of good and bad, good in some policies, evil in others. So it's simply a matter of choosing which good and evil one prefers. But nevertheless, the claim is that both parties are morally equivalent. And the way this usually goes in American politics is the claim that the Democrats are better at compassion for the poor, while the Republicans are better at economic policy and national defense. I believe that description is a manufactured false narrative, part of the delusion, but regardless, the mixture view is very popular. But it's not the way life really is. When the communist Bolsheviks took over Russia, it wasn't as if they were just as good as the free market capitalists. When the Nazis took over Germany, it wasn't as if they were just as righteous as the Weimar Republic Center Party. There is actually good and evil in the world, represented by various political parties. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." So recognize that there is a clear demarcation between good and evil in the world. And again, it's represented by different people and different parties. There are two paths, the way of the righteous, those who follow the law of nature and nature's God, and those who don't. There's no middle ground. And this brings up one more point. Often when political rhetoric gets too heated, we hear political commentators say we should never call other people or other parties evil. Because if you call others evil, that dehumanizes them, and that always results in unjust persecution. Well, sure. If it's only a matter of whether to spend money on building a highway or a bridge or not to build a highway or bridge, that's nothing to call a person evil over. But in serious moral issues, evil needs to be identified and called out. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men." The Bible calls evil men evil men. So now let's talk about the positions of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and their various claims. The biggest issue for Christians is the abortion issue. That alone should tell us all we need to know concerning which side of righteousness Democrat candidates are on. Harris has made pro-abortion her key platform issue. She hopes to win by championing a woman's right to an abortion. And she's certainly right in this. This is the one main issue that distinguishes her from the Republican candidates. Here's an article from AP Press. "President Joe Biden might not often use the word abortion when he talks about overturning Roe versus Wade, but Vice President Kamala Harris sure does. She also toured a Minnesota Planned Parenthood clinic where the procedure is performed, and she routinely links the fall of Roe to the larger issue of rising maternal mortality nationwide. Now that Harris is running for president in place of Biden, Democrats and advocates for reproductive rights are hoping that her bluntness on abortion, coupled with the administration's policies, pro-abortion, will help sway voters to deliver them not just the White House, but key congressional seats as well." So there's no doubt that Harris is the pro-abortion candidate. And the running mate that Harris chose, Tim Walz, is a radical pro-abortionist, right up to the moment of birth. Last year, Walz signed a bill into law in Minnesota declaring abortion a fundamental right that can be exercised without restriction at all stages of pregnancy. Tim Walz also eliminated a Minnesota law in the books since 1976, requiring medical professionals to try to save babies born alive after abortion. For Walz, the baby is to be left to die or further mutilated to ensure death, even when the baby's outside the womb. Walz also eliminated all state funding for pro-life pregnancy centers, but continued to fund Planned Parenthood. Since Roe versus Wade was overturned, abortions in Minnesota are up 25%. And Waltz is glad for it. But in this, the Democrat ticket is exposing where they are morally. Now, many good people don't know much about the details of politics, but the abortion issue is a God-given red flag for God's people to know who to vote for and who not to vote for. If a candidate can't figure out that killing a baby in the womb of his or her mother, is the height of evil, that candidate is in moral darkness. As the evangelical leader R.C. Sproul once said, never vote for a candidate for any office, including dog catcher, who is pro-abortion, unquote. Because if a candidate doesn't realize abortion is evil, his moral compass doesn't face true north. And he or she will also be wrong in just about every other moral political decision. It's no coincidence that the party that's pro-abortion is also pro-LGBTQ, pro-men and women's sports, pro-globalism, pro-Marxist. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without cause, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Verse 16, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Proverbs chapter 6, there are six things which the Lord hates, even seven which are an abomination to him, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Now, the Democrats know that their pro-abortion position is indicting. So beware of the counter-argument they have put forth to try to give them some moral equivalency with pro-life candidates. And the claim is that because the Democrats push for social welfare programs, they care more about babies after they're born. While Republicans only care about babies in the womb, Democrats are more for babies after birth. So therefore, Democrats are just as righteous, if not more righteous. Now, I know you see the ludicrous nature of that argument, but it is put forth as a serious argument. Some leading evangelicals have even suggested this argument. Here's a quote from one evangelical leader. There might be more important ways for voters to promote pro-life policies than simply electing politicians who promise to restrict or end abortion. One might decide that the best way to vote pro-life would be to select a candidate whose official platform was pro-abortion, but who supported subsidizing daycares or paid family leave, making having children more appealing. And this is exactly the same confused moral argument used by the Democrats, that you can be just as pro-life by being for abortion. So what's the fallacy? What mistake is this evangelical leader making? Well, the same mistake made by the Pharisees, neglecting the weightier matters of the law. The Pharisees could find a biblical law to support their policies, but Jesus still condemned them for breaking the law of God by putting those lower laws above the higher laws of God. The preservation of life is the higher law of God, not daycares or paid family leave. Allowing for the murder of some, but taking care of those who you don't murder, doesn't invalidate your support for murder or make you a good person. Keeping laws about feeding the poor doesn't make murder righteous. Murder is such a heinous evil act that supporting daycare or paid family leave isn't even close to being morally equivalent to stopping those who are actively murdering babies. But inverting the hierarchy of God's law is what really deceives most people. For, of course, the Democrats and their belief that personal choice, which can be a virtue in some situations, believing that It's a value that's higher than the value of life. And in this case, some evangelicals believe in that charity is just a higher value as protecting life. But I'm digressing here. What's my point? Determining who is righteous and who is evil is not always clear. Not because God's law, his spirit, and our God-given conscience is not clear, but sin in the human heart deceives the mind with false rationalizations. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than anything else, desperately wicked, who can know it? Ephesians chapter 4, the unsaved walk in the futility of their mind. They're darkened in their understanding. They're excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness of their heart. So let's not be surprised that at next week's Democrat convention, the speakers will all portray themselves, their party, their platform, as righteous. And they will do so with all sincerity, when in fact they are promoting evil. And please understand, the fact that they are deceived and the fact that they are sincere does not lessen the guilt of their wickedness one iota. Because most people think, if a moral standard is found to be debatable, and there are people on both sides, then surely it must not be part of the definitive law of God. But no, people can be sincere and yet be pure evil. The fact that they justify and rationalize evil doesn't lessen the evil. It only shows that they're more evil. They become so evil, they call evil good and good evil. The regular criminal knows he's doing wrong, but it takes a psychopath to do evil and to think one is doing good. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. Notice the two errors. They justify evil and then condemn or call evil those who are righteous. That's what we're going to see at the political convention next week. And so let me close with a word about the power of deception, the deception of sin. The topic is, how can Harris and Waltz claim moral superiority? The answer, because they have deceived hearts and minds, and willfully so. We must come to understand the biblical doctrine of sin regarding the power of deception. Where the false prophets always thought that they were the righteous ones, they had no doubt of it, they were sure that they were the good people of the world. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, and it's really, really hard for people to accept this. Mostly because they judge right and wrong by feelings rather than the word of God. If you feel you're doing right, then you must be okay. How could God judge you? So the Bible speaks often about the deception of sin. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, with all deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Revelation chapter 12, Satan is the one who goes forth to deceive the whole world. And Jesus talked often about the deception of sin, especially in regard to the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, they are the blind guides of the blind. They are spiritually, morally blind themselves, and they lead those who are also spiritually, morally blind. It's often asked, do leftists know that they're lying? And I would say yes in regard to certain policy proposals. You know, for example, there is a Harris commercial that depicts her as being tough on crime and tough on border enforcement. The commercial claims that as vice president, she backed the toughest border control bill in decades. And as president, she will hire thousands of more border agents. What the commercial doesn't tell you is that the Democrat border bill would make it legal for thousands of immigrants to enter our country daily, and call for the hiring of thousands of more border patrol agents, not to police the border, but to process more immigrants for entrance. The whole legislation was a political ploy to get Republicans to vote it down so the Democrats could say they had a border protection bill, but the Republicans didn't want it passed because Republicans wanted to keep the issue alive. It's devious Machiavellian politics. So Harris and the Democrats know they're lying to the American public. But even in this, they don't consider it lying. They consider it good politics. Of course, you're going to speak as a conservative to win conservative votes. Why wouldn't you? You want to win, don't you? So in regard to some specific policies, the Democrats know that they withhold the truth in order to win votes. But overall, they truly believe their worldview is the correct one. It's not as if they actually say to themselves, "We know we're on Satan's side. We hate God, and we're the evil ones." No, they're the blind leaders of the blind. Matthew 23, in the lengthy text where Jesus condemns the Pharisees, he calls them blind 5 times. Matthew 23, 28. "So you too outwardly appear righteous before men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." In studying this subject this week, in the Old Testament, I notice we read often about the wicked thinking that they're in the right, but it's really in the Gospels, in the example of the Pharisees, where this truth is brought out so much more. They would crucify God in the flesh, thinking that they were doing the right thing. In fact, even though they were deceived, they called Jesus the deceiver. That's how upside down the world is. And in John chapter 16, verse 2, Jesus even told his disciples that the world will be so deceived, those who kill you will think that they're offering service to God. Now, if we have any humility, we should all be asking ourselves the question, how do I know whether or not I am deceived? Maybe the Republicans are the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the false teachers, and the Democrats are the good people like Jesus, full of compassion for mankind. After all, Jesus did say at the judgment, "Many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not perform many wonderful works in your name?" And Jesus will say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Maybe that's us, not them. Again, the power of deception is that the deceived assume they're in the right. And we assume we're in the right and on God's side, but so does everyone else. Well, here's the difference. And this is the only way you can tell by the moral standards of God's word. Note the Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 text. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, but he who does the will of my Father." And Jesus will say to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And that's the key. These rejected people did not follow the moral law of God. That's the telltale sign. The false prophets in the Old Testament did not follow the moral law of God, but followed the immorality of Baal worship. The Pharisees did not follow the moral law of God, but transgressed the commandments of God by following their traditions over the word of God. So if words mean what words mean, and sentences mean what sentences mean, the moral law of God is clear. Those who support abortion, transgenderism, gender is a choice, LGBTQ affirmation, are the workers of iniquity. Plain and simple, we don't have to doubt. I'm out of time. Next week, we'll pick up this subject again as the Democrat convention takes place and we'll all be exposed to the media proclaiming the righteousness and the goodness of the Democrat Party. I've only dealt with Harris and Waltz in regard to pro-abortion. We need to look into many of their other lawless policies. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can get all of the links to the extended video version of this program at Rumble and YouTube. That's godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Be a follower of the Word of God, not your feelings. And may Jesus Christ reign.